Welcome back into our second hour. I am live. I am Jim Rome. We are in Southern California. Nice to have you here. The program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Really quickly, coming up in about 35 minutes, the manager of the LA Dodgers, Dave Roberts. Coming up next hour, the co-founder of the Big Three, rap legend, actor, producer, Ice Cube. Episode 120 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Cron Butler is currently live. Don't listen to it right now, but if you want to get to it after the program, that'd be great. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now by a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report. He is host of the Full 48 Podcast. And again, a very good friend of the program. He is Howard Beck. Howard, I really appreciate you coming back. How are you?
Doing okay, Romy. How are you? Strange days.
Strange days, Howard. I'm good, too. You've been around the league for a long, long time. I have never seen anything, Howard, quite like the last 24 hours. So what kind of thoughts and emotions have you had over the past night and day?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even obviously just what we've seen in the NBA or in sports. It's like in the world, like you, in our lifetimes, Jim, you and I have never seen anything like this, period. It's dizzying. And yesterday in particular, I saw somebody tweet out like the list of everything that happened over about a five-hour span yesterday.
Right.
Cancellations, and then the Warriors are going to play with no fans, and then all the way through Rudy Gobert, and then a Kings-Pelicans game that was supposed to go off and then got canceled. Like, I don't know why they didn't just cancel it in the first place. We're all just going minute to minute here, including the league, including the NBA, including everyone in sports. And so never seen anything like it. Still dizzy over all of it, still trying to grasp, you know, where we are, where this is headed. There are way more questions than answers right now where it regards the NBA and what comes next. The Board of Governors were supposed to meet by conference call starting at about 12:30. That's been postponed a couple hours. I guess they're still just trying to, gather all the information and get everybody, you know, coordinated. I don't know where that meeting is going to lead us. That is my biggest curiosity right now. What will the 30 owners or 30 team representatives and league officials decide today about the path forward? Can they even set a path forward? Or is this all just living day to day and trying to map out how to handle it once this crisis has subsided? And this is a crisis that, of course, goes way beyond the NBA. And so, you know, they can make all the plans they want for how they might resume in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It may all be irrelevant because the greater issue is still this still spreading pandemic that we can't possibly anticipate where it will be in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. So I do not envy any of these folks who are trying to figure out how to operate in a time like this. But maybe we'll get some answers by the end of the day about at least what the NBA thinks it might be able to do.
Well said. Howard Beck is a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report, host of the Full 48 Podcast. So, Howard, if we were to backtrack for just one moment, I'm going to follow up on what you said momentarily. But if we were to go back to the start of the Utah-OKC game last night, a member of the Thunder medical staff reportedly rushed to the court, spoke to the officials, who spoke to the head coaches, and then the players left the court. And then a few minutes later, we get the news that Rudy Gobert had tested positive for coronavirus. What was your reaction when that happened?
You know, I was watching this unfold initially on Twitter, like a lot of people, and from home here in New York. And then when that news dropped, it was one of these things where it was like stunning, but not surprising. Stunning because, oh my God, here we are. We're at this moment. It's happened. Everything, this is going to set off a whole chain of events, and you know exactly where that was going to lead. So stunning but not surprising because this seemed inevitable, Jim. The NBA was still playing games. They were still playing games in packed arenas. People were, you know, treating this in a variety of ways, right? Some people very cautiously, conservatively, others maybe more cavalierly. And, of course, there have been reports already and, you know, video of Rudy Gobert being a bit cavalier about this. And this is not to demonize him, but it is a lesson to everyone that when public health officials and scientists and medical professionals are telling you this is serious, these are the steps you should take, this is how careful you should be, people should heed that. And if anybody is telling you otherwise, and I'm not going to go down the political tangent here, but if anyone's telling you otherwise, don't listen to those people. Listen to the experts. Follow their advice. We all probably have been too cavalier about this. I was at the MIT Sloan Conference in Boston last weekend, a conference of analytics experts, people who are some of the smartest people about probabilities and risk and statistics that you can find. And we were all sitting there in a convention center in Boston as if things were normal, and things were not. And maybe we shouldn't have been there, and maybe the conference shouldn't have gone on. We are all still, as a society, of course, trying to grapple with this. But last night, it was inevitable, as long as the NBA was acting as if things were business as usual.
We're talking to Howard Beck. You and I are on the exact same page on this, Howard. Now, is there any doubt in your mind? I'll just pose the question. I already know the answer. Is there any doubt in your mind that the league made the right decision by suspending the season?
They had no choice.
Right.
This is not even like a what do we do now? It's, no, you have to shut it down. Because speaking of the statistics and probabilities and just the risk factors, somebody had told me this like earlier in the week before this came about, they basically said if one player tests positive, it's going to end up shutting down the league, because that one player means you now have to quarantine that team. And now you have to see who did they play recently. And now you're going to have to quarantine that team. And then who did that team? Because this is all, you know, it's a chain of events. It's a chain of contact here. And then you have to consider the referees. And referee crews change game to game. So if you refereed a game with Rudy Gobert and now you are at risk and you didn't know you were, and two nights later you're refereeing with two other refs, and now you're potentially infecting them, and then they're going off. Like, it just, this is how the virus transmits. This is why it has spread so quickly around the world, and why we're still just at the tip of the iceberg here in the U.S. And so, no, like, there was no choice. Once a single player tested positive, the NBA was going to have to shut down indefinitely, and so that's where we are.
We're talking to Howard Beck, and Howard, I've seen you write about this and written about it really well, that in a league of 30 teams spread across the country, there are not that many degrees of separation, and it does overlap quickly. Let me ask you this. Given that there are a limited number of tests available, and both Gobert and Mitchell have tested positive, is that a sign that they're the first players in the league with the virus, or is that a sign that they're the first to test positive?
Great question. It's probably a sign that they're simply the first to test positive. There are 450 range. You know, 450 is the maximum number of players there could be at any given time in the league. How many of them have been tested? How many of them could still be carrying it that we don't know of yet? I would just guess, based on the probabilities, that, yeah, there's probably a few others. There almost have to be, right? How many of them are getting tested now? The league clearly has some resources in this regard and some pull, because, you know, teams are getting tested. And obviously we know that this is a story in the country right now, that there have not been enough tests available in general. I don't know anything beyond that, or how they're, you know, how many tests the NBA has access to, or how many people have been tested. And not just the players too, by the way. You start with the 440 or something players, but then, you know, coaches and trainers and equipment managers and everybody who's come in contact with them all have to be cautious. The real answer is everybody, and I know this is going on, teams are self-quarantining based solely on serial contact right now. And no, they're not all getting tested. They just know that I was in an arena with this team at this time, and we now know, you know, there's enough, you know, chain of events here, or enough serial contact, that the smart thing to do, or at least the prudent thing to do, is to simply self-quarantine. And so I know that there are teams that are already doing that.
We're talking to Howard Beck. Howard, do you feel like, does it seem to you that it's a suspended season, or does it feel like it's going to be a canceled season?
Yeah, among the many, many questions that there is no obvious answer to, and we can only guess. And because, again, this is out of the NBA's hands now, I think, you know, let's make an assumption that whenever this thing spikes, wherever the peak point of coronavirus spread is, let's say it happens in the next couple of weeks, and then there's a decline, assuming that happens. If this thing is under control a month from now, could you resume the season then, skip straight to the playoffs, which I think is the most logical thing? Like, trying to recoup all these lost games doesn't make sense. Freeze the standings where they are last night, play the playoffs based on those standings, because the playoffs would begin about a month from now anyway. Maybe things are in an okay place a month from now. And if so, then you start up with the playoffs, you pick up where you left off in terms of just the league calendar, and you don't disrupt anything else. This idea that Mark Cuban floated of playing into August, I think, has a number of problems with it, and I would guess that that's not what's going to happen, but we'll see what the league ultimately decides. But everything, all of these scenarios, all these possible ways they could handle this, they're all dependent upon whether or not we as a country and the rest of the world, but especially in this country, can get this thing under control first so that it's actually safe to have mass gatherings again and to have travel again at the extent that the NBA does.
Howard Beck is joining us for a few more moments. So, Howard, if you were to go back to early October when there was the controversy over human rights in China, the passing of David Stern, the death of Kobe, Gianna, their teammates and families in that helicopter crash, now the suspension of the season, it has been a six-month stretch unlike any other. What do you make of how Adam Silver has handled all of this?
Oh, man. China was its own difficult mess, and I think that was a mixed bag for the league at that moment, and the way Adam Silver handled it. I don't want to get further into that one because it's too complex. You know, the deaths of Kobe Bryant and David Stern, you know, there's only a human reaction there. There's nothing else to judge based on that. And then this, you know, the league is in uncharted territory. We all are. And, you know, it's been an incredibly difficult year for the NBA, or difficult season for all those events. This one, I don't know how we're going to view it weeks from now, months from now, and you know, the best assessment of history and judgments made in the moment is to wait until later. But at the moment, it does feel like maybe the NBA was too slow to move. I will say that right now. It feels to me like at least emptying out arenas and playing without fans maybe is something that they could have, a decision they could have reached before we got to this point. And maybe it wouldn't have mattered because maybe Rudy Gobert was still going to end up getting the virus and they still would have ended up shutting down. But how many people have been, you know, potentially exposed in the meantime, and all the untold fans who might have been infected and going to games and potentially exposing people around them. But again, it's not just the NBA. It's all the other sports leagues. It's concert promoters. It's everybody who was staging any kind of mass event for the last couple of weeks. And again, you know, if we had better leadership in this country, then maybe people would have been more guarded and cautious about the way we were going to proceed. Instead, we had too many influential voices saying this is not a big deal, when in fact it's a very big deal.
It's a very big deal. Senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report, host of the Full 48 podcast, Howard Beck, making himself available once again here in the jungle. Howard, extremely well done. I really appreciate you and your thoughts, and thanks so much for helping to elevate this conversation.
Appreciate you, Romy. Be well.
You too, Howard. Thanks so much. Howard Beck on the program. All right, some more food for thought. Your reaction to it. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. If you were on hold and you dropped off, you want to try and get back in, go right ahead and do it. Coming up, I've got an open segment, next segment. Coming up at 40 past, Dave Roberts, the manager of the LA Dodgers. Cube, founder of the Big Three. Rap legend, actor, producer, content provider extraordinaire, joins me in the middle of hour number three. I've got an episode of the Jim Rohn podcast with Ron Butler. I will say this, we taped it on Tuesday. So this, what we're talking about right here is not covered in that podcast, but it's an extremely real and raw conversation. You might want to look for that after the show. In the meantime, as I mentioned, even as I walked from my office to the studio to open the program, news was breaking. It's a five-second walk. This is how fluid this all is. I started the hour by saying that the Big Five Power Conferences had all canceled their conference tournaments in basketball, that the Big East had not. During that conversation with Howard Beck, the Big East did cancel their tournament and did so at halftime of St. John's and Creighton. And now we're waiting on the official announcement from Major League Baseball. And I will get into that, and the NHL, and the NCAA tournament, and more. All of that is still ahead. So, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need some more energy? I think I could best answer that by telling you what we do not want. We don't want another bar or a sugary snack or some energy drink. Now, this time we want beef, pure and simple. So, where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your old man's jerky. That jerky was shriveled, dry, tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky, though, is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. It's tender, it's tasty, it's not tough. So why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously. You can taste it in every last bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four great flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach, anywhere at all. So look for Old Trapper. It's in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. All right, so I mentioned that things are certainly fluid, and they are changing. We had Howard Beck on. Dave Roberts is the manager of the LA Dodgers, of course. The Dodgers just reached out to say that the owners are meeting right now, and that Dave Roberts will be briefed in a few minutes. He is out for 10:40 Pacific time. We're going to see if we can move him to hour number three. So he may not be out completely, but he was supposed to be in the next segment, and that's not going to happen, but maybe in hour number three. Also in the third hour, we have Cube, the founder of the Big Three, rap legend, actor, and producer. Jeff Passan had tweeted, after a conference call among owners this afternoon, Major League Baseball is expected to suspend spring training. The league will likely delay the beginning of the regular season as well. At this point, it's a formality that ownership-level sources expect to happen. So again, the Dodgers also on top of that, had reached out to say that the owners are meeting right now, and that Dave Roberts will then be briefed shortly thereafter. 1-800-636-8686. So let me also update you on a few more thoughts I have. And I am looking for your phone calls. Yesterday, the NCAA tournament, or I should say the NCAA itself, announced that they would be playing their tournament games without fans. NCAA President Mark Emmert issued a statement that read in part, and I quote, "The NCAA continues to assess the impact of COVID-19 in consultation with public health officials and our COVID-19 advisory panel. It went on, quote, "Based on their advice and my discussions with the NCAA Board of Governors, I have made the decision to conduct our upcoming championship events, including the Division I men's and women's basketball tournaments, with only essential staff and limited family attendance." The statement goes on, quote, "While I understand how disappointing this is for all fans of all sports, my decision is based on the current understanding of how COVID-19 is progressing in the United States," end quote. So when that came out, it was a gut punch. It was inevitable, but it was still a big bum out, because the NCAA tournament is the best, arguably the best event in all sports. And fans are a part of what make it so good. The fans are an enormous part of that. But it was the right call at the right time. It really was. Now, a day later, it feels like it's just not enough. One day later, two NBA players have now tested positive, and the NBA season has been suspended. Major League Soccer announced that they are suspending their season. USA Soccer has called off its upcoming games. The ATP Tour announced that they're suspending their season for 6 weeks. At this point, the question needs to be asked, and it is, and this again is fluid, it's happening as we speak, but the question needs to be asked of Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, the NCAA Tournament, the PGA Tour, NASCAR, everyone. Everyone at this point needs to be asked, why are you holding games? Why are you holding events? For who? For what? This really is the ultimate for who, for what moment. Where is the NHL on this? Where is the PGA Tour? Where is Major League Baseball? I know they're discussing it. I know they're thinking. I'm curious what that discussion is. The NHL had announced this morning that they were advising teams not to have morning skates today. That's a start, I suppose. I'm concerned it's not enough. And again, I say this as somebody who covers sports for a living. Believe me, I'm not looking for sports to be stopped right now or ever. Believe me, and maybe some of you have thought about this, but if you cancel everything, or if you shut down everything, or if you shut down everything as it relates to sports, and I'm charged with hosting a sports talk show 3 hours a day, believe me, I don't want everything shut down. The hell am I going to talk about for 3 hours every single day? However, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than the show. It's bigger than the games. If the NBA is saying that it is too great of a risk to continue playing their games, and if colleges are moving to online classes and telling students not to come back from spring break, then why are college athletes playing games in empty arenas? What is the rationale for that? If the NCAA and all of these other leagues really are concerned about the athletes, as they claim to be, they're going to take corrective action right now. I know that suspending a league or a tournament is not easy. I know there are going to be crazy knock-on effects for teams, leagues, athletes, everybody who works those games and relies on that income to pay their rent or their mortgage. I understand that. I'm extremely concerned about that and empathetic. But this, again, is not just a bug. According to healthcare officials, this is a pandemic. And again, this is not being paranoid. This is not being an alarmist. I don't think you're either of those things to take serious steps because we're looking in the face of a pandemic. It gets called a pandemic, and two elite athletes have already tested positive. And going back to my point with Howard Beck, my question to Howard Beck, does that mean they're the only two who have it, or does that mean they're the only two who tested positive? You have two elite athletes who've already tested positive. It's a global pandemic, yet you want to hold a basketball game, or you want to hold a hockey game, or you want to hold a baseball game. What happens if you hold an event and a player or a coach gets sick? What happens if a bunch of college athletes who aren't being compensated get sick? Again, nobody loves March Madness more than me. Selection Sunday is the best. John Rothstein is the best. The first Thursday and Friday of the tournament are the best. One Shining Moment is the best. This is one of my favorite times of year. I love talking to coaches from small schools that you may not know who have crazy stories. They're some of my favorite interviews of the year because you get guys who were digging ditches or working in sales, and now they're on the biggest stage and they're loving it. Believe me, this is good for my brand. It's good for the show. It's good for business. I love the tournament for the players. And no, it's not lost on me that for seniors, this would be their last chance at an NCAA tournament. And that if that's postponed, that opportunity is ripped from them. It jacks up everything. It sucks. It's the worst. This could be their last or their only look at it. But if you're a professional sports league or you're the NCAA, or a conference tournament, you have to say, for who, for what? For who and for what? You're not going to get a prize for being tough right now. You're not going to be awarded a prize for looking it in the eye. You're not going to get a prize for making jokes about it or touching every microphone. Just ask Rudy Gobert and then go ask Donovan Mitchell. And by the way, again, Gobert and Mitchell are the first guys to test positive. It does not mean they are the first or only elite athletes or NBA players to have it. There's a difference. Look, I hate that I'm saying this. Hate that I'm saying this. I never thought that I'd be calling for the suspension of professional leagues and of the NCAA tournament. But when health officials are calling it a pandemic, when areas are putting limits on the size of gatherings and encouraging social distancing, it is really difficult to justify continuing to hold sporting events for the time being. The way to slow the spread of a virus is to take serious action. These are serious times. They call for serious action. 1-800-636-8686. All right, we had Dave Roberts scheduled for next segment. We're going to try and move him. And that means the next segment's open for you. You have your telephone number. If you want to get to me on Twitter, I'll read tweets too. Follow me at Jim Rome. If you want to put your thoughts together and email them to me, you can do that. The email address is Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We'll talk more about Major League Baseball, the NCAA tournament, NHL, and more. All of that is coming up. Ice Cube next hour.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Open phones right now. 1-800-636-8686. I'm Jim Rome. We are live. We're in Southern California doing our thing. Next time you want a protein snack, ditch the drinks and the bars and grab a bag of Old Trapper beef jerky. Tender, tasty, real beef that rocks your craving for a snack. It satisfies. Ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Last segment, I said that in light of the coronavirus, in light of the NBA suspending its season after Rudy Gobert tested positive, then his teammate Donovan Mitchell tested positive. I said at this point, I'm not really sure how any other professional league or major event could not fall in line and follow suit. To me, that's the ultimate for who, for what. You know, for who, for what? Why are you doing this? NHL, Major League Baseball, NCAA tournament, and more. No sooner than I said that, it becomes official in a statement from NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. This just now drops. In light of ongoing developments resulting from the coronavirus and after consulting with medical experts and convening a conference call of the Board of Governors, the National Hockey League is announcing today it will pause the 2019-20 season, beginning with tonight's games. Statement goes on. The NHL has been attempting to follow the mandates of health experts and local authorities while preparing for any possible developments without taking premature or unnecessary measures. However, following last night's news that an NBA player has tested positive for coronavirus, and given that our league shares so many facilities and locker rooms, it now seems likely that some member of the NHL community would test positive at some point. And it's no longer appropriate to try to continue to play games at this time. The statement goes on, quote, "We will continue to monitor all the appropriate medical advice, and we will encourage our players and other members of the NHL community to take all reasonable precautions, including by self-quarantine where appropriate. Our goal is to resume play as soon as it is appropriate and prudent so that we will be able to complete the season and award the Stanley Cup. Until then, we thank NHL fans for your patience and hope you stay healthy," end quote. That statement from Gary Bettman. Again, the right thing to do. Major League Baseball may be close to something similar. Jeff Passan had tweeted, quote, "For anybody questioning MLB's potentially suspending spring training, I'll refer to David Price as he walked into the Dodgers facility about an hour ago. Quote, it's got to happen. This is so much bigger than sports. I've got two kids," end quote. Passan concluded his tweet by saying, "That feeling is shared by many, many in the game." Of course. This email says, Romy, do you understand what you're saying? If they cancel all sports, you're not going to have any content, which means we are going to have to deal with hours and hours of Parody Larry and Matt in L.A. phone calls. Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. Geoff, let's hope that it does not come to that. Hey, listen, again, this is why it's so hard for me on so many levels to say, shut it down. I'm not making light of this, but shut it down. Let's go home. Because, listen, I make a living. This is how I put food on my table. This is how I keep the people around me employed. There are people counting on me. Lots of people counting on me. The last thing I want is for the NBA to go away. The last thing I want is for the NHL to go away. The last thing I want is for MLB to go away. The last thing I want is not to have an NCAA tournament. These are the last things I want. I have 3 hours to fill every single day. What do I always say? What do I root for? Something to talk about. If there are no leagues and there are no games and there is no action, I don't have a whole hell of a lot to talk about. I'm the last guy that you want or would think would be banging on the desk to shut it down. Except you need to shut it down. In terms of what am I going to do? What am I going to talk about? I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But yes, it's going to make things a little bit more difficult. However, you have my word. You have my word. You will not. I don't have your answer yet, but you will not have to worry about, quote, hours of Parody Larry and Matt in L.A. phone calls. Maybe seconds, but not hours. Dear Jim, social distancing? If you do not want to be around other people, I suggest taking a drive on the 73 freeway. No humans as far as the eye can see. Drew in West LA. Hey, Drew, that's not exactly what I mean by elevating the conversation. If you have something to offer that elevates the conversation, go ahead and do so. Donovan Mitchell has posted on Instagram. I want to read that post. He writes, quote, thanks to everyone who has been reaching out since hearing the news about my positive test. We are all learning more about the seriousness of this situation, and hopefully people can continue to educate themselves and realize they need to behave responsibly both for their own health and for the well-being of those around them. I appreciate the authorities in Oklahoma who were helpful with the testing process and everybody from the Utah Jazz who have been so supportive. I am going to keep following the advice of our medical staff and hope that we can all come together and be there for each other and our neighbors who need our help. It goes back to what I said earlier. Maybe you're not concerned about yourself. Maybe you don't think that it could happen to you. Hopefully not. But maybe at the same time you concern yourself with those around you. Maybe you concern yourself with those who are at risk. Maybe you concern yourself with your neighbors. So that's Donovan Mitchell, who tested positive. Some more reaction. This is an email. Jim, I have been a healthcare worker in a hospital for most of my 27-year career. I can almost guarantee that what is happening in this country is finally getting word of the horrible conditions that other countries, namely Italy, are facing within their healthcare system. Our hospital and area hospitals are usually at or near capacity this time of year. The biggest fear is having too many critical ill patients at one time, which is what's happening with COVID-19. There simply are not enough hospital beds, namely critical care beds, to accommodate and adequately care for very sick patients. Contingency plans such as using high school gyms as critical care units are being discussed. So make no mistake, clones, this is very real. Be smart. Be vigilant. Think about others. Be vigilant. Think about others. Mike in Jacksonville, I agree with that. This is so true. I mean, if it wasn't real before, it better be real to you right now. This is not a hoax. It's just, again, it's kind of strange to me that it didn't really become real to people until Tom Hanks tweeted, until Rudy Gobert was positive. But now I think people understand this is real. This is serious. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Illinois. Andrew in Illinois. Nice to have you, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, Rome. I'm doing well. Hey, I am a nurse practitioner that works both in the primary care setting as well as in hospital medicine. And what I want to express to all the listeners is that the concern, as that last email stated, is for those that are going to become critically ill. Outside of just beds, if you start to look at this respiratory disease, think about if we have several people that are 70-plus years old that get it, and we don't have enough ventilators to help ventilate support people. The people that are, stuck without ventilator support are just going to die, are going to pass away. So if we can limit exposure by, obviously closing down these events, things like the virus slows down somewhat, at least the stress on our healthcare system will be delayed. The virus is going to get around to people. That's not the concern. The concern is the taxing on the healthcare system. And I'm not worried about people, young, healthy people like Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. They're going to be okay eventually. It's grandma and grandpa or infants and things like that, and if our healthcare system can support it. Just want people to understand that it's not just as simple as wash your hands and, make sure you're not touching your face. When you start to deal with grandma, grandpa, infants, sometimes that's not an option. So wanted to let you know my opinion from a medical, professional. Thanks, Rome. Appreciate it.
Andrew, thank you. Andrew in Illinois, a medical professional sharing his thoughts. He said, listen, world-class athletes like those two inevitably will be fine. But the elderly, infants, of course, you want to add to that people with compromised immune systems. That's a real concern, which goes back to my original point. I think that a lot of people, and I'm not saying that I changed anybody's mind, but I think even a few hours ago, as this story continues to develop and we get more and more information and we become more and more familiarized and we become more and more educated, I think there are still a lot of people out there thinking, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm young, I'm vibrant, I'm not in any danger, I'm not at risk. It's not that big of a deal. Again, I would say to you, it's a really big deal. But if you think that you're not vulnerable, if you think that you're not at risk, fine, I suppose. But this time, this one time, instead of only thinking about yourself, maybe you think about somebody else. Maybe you think about people you know. Maybe you think about people you work with. Maybe you think about your neighbors. Maybe you think about the people you love who may, in fact, be vulnerable even if you're not. And then when you think about them, think about what actions you can take to minimize the impact and to minimize the spread. And again, to his point, the way to minimize the impact and potentially minimize the spread is to take precautions and to take serious steps so the spread hopefully is controlled sooner than later. And back to his point, something I said earlier, and he made the point emphatically. You do that not only to try to prevent the spread, but to try to prevent the system from being overwhelmed. So that hospitals are not overwhelmed. So that those who need care can get the care. Hopefully by taking those steps right now, it means that it won't be as bad as it might be. This is why you want to take steps right away. This is why it's so much better to be proactive right now. Not get any further behind the eight ball. Be proactive and not reactive. Hopefully you don't get sick. Hopefully you don't need care. Great. But listen to the experts, follow the advice that you're hearing, and make it better for those around you. If you're not at risk. Next hour, Ice Cube. And I'm trying to reschedule Dave Roberts. We'll see about that. 1-800-636-8686. It's your phone number. 2 hours down, third hour straight ahead.